Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Hey everyone, this is your host, Tim Rutten here. Today, we're going to be wrapping up the two-part series with banking titan Jim Maroos, who is one of the key minds behind the Financial Brand, the Digital Banking Report, and of course, the Banking Transformed podcast. This time around, Jouk and I will conclude our chat with Jim by discussing key strategies for managing change at your financial institution, as well as how to overcome legacy leadership challenges, and much more. Enjoy. So far, you talk more about the, let's say, consumer expectation. Let's just flip towards the boardroom. I think the conversations I've been in the past few weeks are about how do we continue growing the bank while we don't have any more options anymore to reduce costs even further or to become even more efficient internally in the back office. Like those playbooks, they get exhausted at one moment in time. So that basically pivots the conversation to how are we going to grow? What are the levers we can play with? And certainly AI is a main element there or a main ingredient, but that's just technology. So perhaps through that lens, Jim, if I tell you that there's, let's say, a growth opportunity the moment you bring everything together, as we're just discussing, so you have a core or multiple, you have your fintech ecosystem, you bring it into one single platform, preferably, which then allows you to do a few things very differently, which are exactly to your examples. You can get to a banking experience, whether that's an application or any other UI, to be decided in the coming 5-10 years. That is so personalized and so segment of one, not one size fits all. I think that's where you can actually start growing again with your customer base, improve your share of wallet, really understand what they're up for, but also take a risk on attitude. Because right now I'm mostly hearing there's no risk appetite and hence we'll just remain cruising where we are.
Well, you know, we've fallen asleep at the wheel as an industry around organic growth. You know, we get the relationship. We think it's there. And I'm amazed by the few organizations that really analyze flow of funds. I'm given indications every single day as to how I use my money and where it goes. If you take any time as a financial institution to look at where has my money gone, you're going to see all my financial relationships because they're all paying things off or moving funds around or moving from a transaction account to a non-transaction account. And I think the greatest growth opportunity is waking up to the fact that you don't have any longer 80% of the relationship of a customer that you have the checking account for. You may have 20% of the relationship. You may have the funds, but you don't have the engagement. I mean, it sounds simple, but sometimes you got to start with the simple to say, we look at almost every country gave checks to their consumers during COVID, some kind of checks, government checks. How much do we know about what happened at that time? Did the consumer just immediately transfer it to another account? Did the consumer use it to pay rent? Did the consumer use it to build a stronger stockpile for risk in the future? That defines a lot about what you may want to offer that consumer. But I'm looking again at my traditional bank relationships, and they have such a small fraction upon which to grow, and they've never really made the attempt to get more. You know, simple math will tell you when my car loan's going to be due, when it's going to be over with, when I'm going to be paid off. A simple math is going to tell you when my mortgages are. But even if you have a mortgage relationship, we're so built in the legacy of, you know what, I don't want to mess things around because I'm getting a pretty good interest rate from this customer. I don't want to offer him something lower. And then all of a sudden the customer refinances or buys another house and you don't get the deal. And you wonder why? Well, because you never had the empathy looking out for me. We have enough data today among all the sources, and we have the technology today to build a wellness solution for a consumer, for a small business, for a corporation that is a win-win, a value transfer. And if you leverage the data you have, and if you've been in the business long too time also, and knowing what the power of your platform can do and how the best clients are leveraging it to make money, to build segmented solutions that no one ever thought of for maybe 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds that include things outside of financial services, we've got to build a mindset of banking done differently that is empathetic, that is a value transfer, and that where the consumer, the small business, the corporation realizes, I'm willing to split the winnings with you if you truly look out for me rather than simply be a passive warehouse to say, I'll take the business you offer me. You know, your comment, Tim, about growth, it's on everybody's radar, but everybody looks at it from we have to acquire. You know, look at your customer base and don't get into the dynamic of saying, you know, have somebody do research into how much you really own of that customer's relationship. I'm not talking about deposits. I'm not even talking about transactions. And as PayPal found years and years ago, how often are you going to the phone? You know, how often are you engaging? How often are you checking your balances? I want that customer to be going to their phone all the time, not just for transactions, but to see if I'm offering something. You know, the number of organizations that don't offer something on the mobile banking app that is relevant and timely, or goes and use, gosh forbid, SMS text to text me and say, by the way, we have a special offer for you. Go into your mobile banking app to look at it. In other words, take the risk out of transacting using text. But, you know, this is not rocket science, especially in a digital world. However, we continue to think within the paradigm of what we've always done. And part of the problem is, I don't know about you, but I don't have many clients that aren't making, you know, money. Maybe they're not making as much, but they're not going out of business. And, you know, the leaders, Yauk, that you're talking to, they've been in banking for 20 to 30 years. They've moved up the ranks by being successful. They have not stumbled majorly because that's how they've gotten there. Well, why would they want to do something different if they've gotten there by doing things the way they've done them? They have kudos. They have a whole, you know, shelf of awards they've won. And we're saying, you know what? Look at you, Yauk, your company. You had to continually rethink the way you were going to present your offerings in the marketplace. And some of them were really risky. But guess what? It's worked.
Well, I would say to the bankers also in the audience, I think our most successful customers do realize they are basically with the platform and with having a brand and having, let's say, an install base, they're sitting on a gold mine. And that's exactly your point. What is the gold mine that you know exactly that what they do and what they have? With open banking, you can get even a wider view. But exactly to your point, of course, we don't have to focus per se on new customer acquisition. If you would just focus on expanding with your install base just to grow your share of wallet or to grow your product holdings, and you've got all the interactions, you've got all the data. Now, you can completely act on it. You don't even need AI to act on it because many of these things are so simple, you can just capitalize on that. So, but that also means a change in mindset, maybe for the people in the audience, like, hey, we're now successful with servicing in a mobile app, but that's not going to help us grow. That is just servicing in a limited set of that relationship with that particular client in their life. Like, let's start to evolve in chapter 2 of digital transformation. The mobile app becomes a growth platform. It becomes an e-commerce operation where we can do personalization or we can give holistic advice. Of course, you need to do that to make the relationship more meaningful. But I think it's also an opportunity to fulfill demand, right? It's basically an opportunity to expand your product holdings. So to me, that's the name of the game for the next 5 years.
Well, and I keep on emphasizing this because it really reflects the ability for an organization of any size to do this. This is not just the biggest organizations that can do this. We have solution providers out there. You're at conferences, you're at events, you see you're spending as much time with the other solution providers as you are with potential clients that are financial institutions, because you have to learn how to work with these different providers that are offering different subsets of what you offer. The reality is the answers are out there. The people that will help you get to the promised land are out there. You don't need to have AI specialists. There are companies that have AI specialists that they're hiring just specifically for banking. And because you and other companies have multiple clients, just like the clients you're talking to, it gives you the ability to help them get to the finish line where they would possibly have challenges. And financial institutions have to open their ears to the partners they select and say, help me get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, theoretically, you're right. And I think you and I always run the risk that we can talk about how it should be and we can be on stage with a great vision. But most of the people in the audience think like, how do I get there? Right? But like I think the problem is that, especially in the US, if I may, and I'm going to be a little bit provocative just to see how you think about this, but like there are way too many system solution providers. There are way too many point solutions because I think an average client can never do all the system integration. So yeah, you're absolutely right. But like it's just, you know, you've been in the market long enough to remember WordPerfect or Lotus 1-2-3. Like I was at GAC, I see all these freaking providers, a whole floor, exhibition floor of point solutions. But like, nobody realizes how freakingly expensive it is to kind of integrate those things, right? So what is your view on that?
The integration is key. The good news is, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but the good news is, as I said, you're working with organizations across the board to make it so that you can make it seamless for your clients. You know, however, what gets in the way is when you aren't bringing them together. You know, when you're working almost, you've added silos. We always talked about the silos of banking. The last thing you want are more silos based on core or digital transformation.
And then we take a point solution for onboarding. We take another point solution for loan origination. We take another point, like ultimately, I'm very much inspired by the e-commerce world where we see, you probably know Toast or Square. These guys built ecosystem. They say this restaurant or hospitality business, I will do everything for you. The ticketing, the home delivery, the point of sale. But they basically, what you see is vendors that are driving the innovation agenda. But they are, in my mind, they are creating the Microsoft Office suite. So instead of WordPerfect, Lotus 1-2-3, they bring it together and it all works together. You can choose only to use the word processor, but you can also use all three. Same thing with Toast. So I would not be surprised. And of course, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I think like theoretically, we're all right about where, but like that whole vision about where the banking market has to go. You could have told that story 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? And we did.
Is that not everybody bought it? That's the problem.
So let's say in that sense, we're pretty consistent in like where this thing can go, right? And I think also we can also conclude there's more technology than ever to realize the vision. So I think also, but even then, I still think like with all that technology, with all that AI, there's way too much fragmentation. If you look at an average small credit union or an average mid-sized regional bank, they don't have the bandwidth to do all that integration, Jim. I see it every day. And of course, you can glue it together and you can do a bit of SSO, but like they never will kind of get to that nirvana state unless, you know, you see some consolidation in like who are the critical platform providers and what is their innovation agenda to bring these things together. I am biased, but maybe you disagree.
No, I totally agree. And what if we were to talk about this 4 years ago, 5 years ago, beginning of COVID, it would take a very long time to make that move to really rebuild and have the core work together, to have what it has to do. We have organizations now that, mind you, it disrupts the organization a bit, but have completely replaced their core in less than 18 months. I'm sorry, but that is unheard of. I also have an organization, a very big organization that took, you could say 10 years. It depends on how you build the history, but some of that is learning curve and all that. The reality is it can be done now. It gets back to leadership again. And it's so easy to keep on falling on that, but you've got to be willing to make that move and realize that it opens the doors to so many things. And what's nice about this is it's not like you're going to have to do it again, because these are self-modernizing cores now that they're being built. And so if you make that move, it continually updates on a weekly, daily, monthly basis. You got to get started. You know, and that's the biggest problem. And You know, I kidded somebody the other day that the reason I'm in business still is because nobody really listened. I don't have all the answers, but I know generally what you have to do and you got to move forward. You look at Gen AI, and I talk to people about the fact that you've now worked from always having to have the answers to now in this world where you're better off if you know how to ask the questions than have the answers, because it's prompting skills that are really going to set the tone for how irreplaceable do you become as a person or as a company. So, you know, are these organizations going to ask the right questions? Will they at least go forward? I think you'd attest to the fact that even making the wrong answer but moving forward is going to be better than making not doing anything. Yeah, as much as we don't want to see these things not integrated, it's better for an organization to at least test and learn through separate implementations and then go, geez, I wish I had done it all at once. But in that, they've learned and they've modernized their experience with the customer. But it's at the end, are you ever going to get to that, what I'm going to call nirvana from the customer perspective, where you're actually going to be able to think on the customer's behalf for a better wellness solution, financial wellness platform? You know, I don't like working with financial numbers and my finances. I make a lot of bad decisions. I would do anything for a continually connected advisor that gives me ideas on how to do better in my financial life. It can go, and oh, by the way, to your point, Yauk, it can go beyond banking. You know, when I'm buying a season ticket for a sports team, should I be doing that? Is that the best financial decision? That's the best decision for me at my stage of my life? Or would it be better for me to get out of the season ticket and buy separate tickets? You know, it's things like that that are financial decisions every day. You know, and what is your goal in life? Is mine right now moving toward travel and experiences? Well, how do you set those up? You know, my financial advisor, the last time he met with us said, you know, you're too worried about what the tax rate is here and there and everything else. You better start using your money. Now, it's a nice problem to have. But the reality is, he goes, your child's not, he's going to be set. You know, he says he has more problems at my age category and even younger than this on people actually using what they have. That's a whole nother mindset that a financial institution could help with.
I think you made a couple of remarks. Sorry, Tim, but like I think like we don't have to worry about the consumer, Jim. They will take care of themselves. Our customers, the banking customers, you know, small businesses, they will take care of themselves. And it's called App Store, and they will bring the business somewhere else. So problem solved, right? So the consumer, I'm not so worried about it. I think it's more go back to that story, like, hey, we're falling asleep at the wheel, and we have reputation, we have an install base, and how do we capitalize on that? Well, the good news here in this audience, in this podcast, we don't have laggards. We in the audience. We only have change makers. We only have people here that are motivated to drive change. So what I hear you say there, like, okay, what kind of concrete steps can they take to kind of get there, right, step by step? One, get great leadership. Like, that's out of our control here in this podcast. But, like, you need to have a level of leadership that wants to drive a change agenda. If you don't want to drive change, then maybe go to another bank. That is, you know, I would always look at, like, what leadership am I working for? Are they driving change? If not, I would not work there, right? So I think that's it. Each individual in this podcast can fix that. The second part, then, is, like, if you do want to change, like, okay, what I hear you say is maybe the most remarkable thing, at least my takeaway, is risk management or an appetite for calculated risk-taking. How can we encourage the audience there? Because risk management also talks, a lot of people think like risk management cannot do, but risk management in a positive way is what can you do? We're driving this AI change agenda in Backbase, and I think last year, guys, this is risk on. It is. We have to go back to experimentation. Things don't have to go perfect. Like, that's a super important statement to make, and it kind of unleashes a lot of, let's say, innovation and creativity. So typically, I think that's the problem with most banks. The talent and the innovation is in the bank for sure. It is just held captive.
If you have a bank that really is moving toward a digital platform and maybe closing some branches in the process, it allows you the opportunity to make a $100 loan profitable among a customer base. You know, no longer saying, I'm only going to do unsecured loans of $2,500 or more. Well, you're doing banking the old way. figuring on your old financial situation and taking the old income statement and balance sheet into account, well, if you close branches, if you reduce your cost structure significantly, what doors open from a product management and from a servicing standpoint? Now, Chase in the United States is different than Chase in the UK. Chase in the UK has got one of the most progressive and profitable and growth-oriented digital platforms in the country. What's interesting is they won't offer that in the U.S. because all of a sudden they have a, you know, as I kid about, they have 35 stories of people that are branch-based in New York City and their tower, all working at work, by the way, because they got to come in. But the reality is, how do you, if you don't have that cost structure, if you're a medium-sized organization, how do you look at the future of your organization? How important are branches, or how cumbersome are the cost of branches in an environment where you can't offer services to a broader base? You talk about growth again, Tim. You can't offer services to a broader base with a narrower margin of income, but over a broader solution set.
But let's translate this, Jim. Let's make it actually. So what I hear you say, for a group of banks, you could become leaner in your physical footprint, right? Let's say it kind of in a friendly way, but you basically want to do budget reallocation. And you can share those savings. Like, okay, so that is maybe one very concrete advice. If you look at the more successful banks or credit unions you've seen in North America, can you distill success criteria? Or, of course, it's good leadership. Of course, what would be the recommendations? Like, what's the formula that you say, like, hey, to the audience, this is something I've seen working. So reduce physical footprint is one. Great digital leadership, risk management.
Make banking extraordinarily better for the consumer, for customers, be it small business, corporate, or get rid of the friction. You know, every mobile banking app feels the same, but if I want to open a new account, you know, how hard is that going to be? Or a new loan, or new mortgage, or a new commercial account, a new small business account. How difficult is that going to be? Or on the other side, how much of the information you have on a customer do you not have to duplicate because you're bringing your core together across platforms? So if I said, I currently have a checking account with you, I want to open a savings account, do you maybe go through the entire process that normally was done? Or is it a click of one button saying, transfer all the information you have here, open a savings account? And to your point, Yauke, which we didn't really dig deep into, is it really an account? Or is it a platform of a relationship where all that stuff is within that capability?
Hey, you also mentioned something else, and that is maybe kind of how we kill the old mindset of let's kind of reinvent the past, right? Or rebuild the past, feature parity. You know, that's exactly your earlier point. What we see whenever people, for instance, they decide to go with a platform like Backbase, and then you arrive at the first inception workshops, and people come with a huge spreadsheet of all the micro requirements of the old system. So how do we deal with that?
Well, that's funny. I think it was the chairman of Lemonade Insurance that said, you know, the biggest challenge to digital transformation in banking is legacy leadership. And what he also said was, modernizing your core is not simply digitizing what you've done in the past. It's not turning paper into PDFs. You know, it's how do you really rethink banking? And there's actually, you know, I give a lot of credit to a bank that usually doesn't get as much credit as they should, U.S. Bank, that I think really looks at everything they do internally and says, how do we do this differently for digital? And one of the ways that internally they do that is to bring everybody involved in the process into the room and saying, we've got to rethink this entire process. We got to work together to get there. We talked about this before the podcast. You know, they bring in the challengers. They bring in the compliance people and the legal people and saying, let's make sure we're not just saying it's illegal because we've never done it that way. You know, we didn't, in the U.S., we used signature cards until somebody said, you know, signature cards are simply to verify who the person is. we don't need these little paper cards behind every teller counter that people looked at to compare signatures. I go back to the day that no check could be cashed unless you could compare the signatures. Oh my God. You know, but how do we modernize that? Well, we put it on a platform and still did it the old way. We still did the process the old way. And that again is the importance of partnering with progressive solution providers that within their client base have some very progressive organizations. And I think you're seeing it because I know a lot of other solution providers are seeing it. The best organizations now are pushing your buttons to do things that you haven't thought of. And that's where the banking industry can go. And it doesn't matter what, you know, the geographic region is, but you have organizations that are doing things differently than ever before. And that helps your other organizations, if they have ears and listen, to do things differently the same. I you know, the biggest concern I have is, you kind of hit it, is where you don't rethink banking and you simply digitize what you've done in the past.
That's basically the whole, yes, you can digitize what you've had into the new world, but why did you then make the move? Because it's not that meaningful. It's about truly transforming it. Yeah. It's really the transformational moment in time, process, people, leadership. How do we really operate on the new, in a new pattern? Yeah, Jouk, you look very excited.
But this is also like we very often talk about legacy leadership for sure. But I think there's also a shout out maybe to the people in the audience. There's also something I would say in product owners or in, let's call it middle management. So let's not, I don't know, you can include them in under the umbrella leadership, but it's not just leadership. I think the biggest problem very often is what we call the middle of the pyramid, where you have the owner of XYZ product or the owner of XYZ process.
Well, it could be the credit adjudicator. I mean, the reality is that's not even middle management. It's like it's still a management level, but the person who's in charge of determining credit capability, that can all be done through AI today. It doesn't have to need a person.
With AI, without AI, like that. So it's almost like that growth mindset of those people to also say like, hey, are we going to reinvent the past or are we going to take and reimagine or rethink? And do we dare also then to have a few complaints of our members or customers because it's different? Because many people also just are afraid of that. Like, okay, the call center spike will be there. Yeah, of course. But like at the same time, companies like Revolut are servicing 80 million customers around the world, and it goes and they grow by 10 million. So, I mean, those patterns are proven. They do work. Look at Venmo, look at PayPal, etc. So
look at South America and you know what's going on there, where it's not even a bank, but it's a credit corporation that has basically made it so that now they're going to expand into all the traditional banking services, but they have a core, they have a base. You know, there's no finance, you know, you look in Africa, in Asia, in India, in South America, you mentioned Revolut, you mentioned PayPal. These are organizations that have amazing cores of customers, people that are doing transactions, and they're fine-tuning their wheel and making it so that they can hit more customers. And again, I'm going to still call it silent attrition. It's not very silent because we know they're growing, but Ron Shevlin did, you know, research on, you know, where are the new checking accounts being opened? They're not being opened at Chase and Bank of America. They're being opened at the Chimes and at the Varos and at the, you know, or as in my son's case, they may be opened at a traditional financial institution, then never touched after that. You know, it's they're simply a warehouse. You know, they're a back office warehouse. And oh, by the way, I will guarantee you, they're not making anywhere near the optimal amount of revenue they could from my son's financial relationships.
So with that, in a way, we kind of summarize that, okay, as a bank, okay, the overall program is unlock growth mode, right? Seamless onboarding, 5 minutes, seamless servicing. If you do the servicing, seamless e-commerce to expand product holdings. That's the name of the game.
And innovation using that new core. Because I kid about the fact that I believe there's still a lot of organizations that bring in people from university and their rotation. They still use a rotation where they go from department to department and they say they're doing this so you can learn how we do things. Let's not stifle that imagination that comes in. Put them right in the innovation department and say, build banking differently. And I don't want to tell you one thing about how we do things today. because we need thought leadership that doesn't have the parameters of, oh, we've tried that and it didn't work, or, oh, we don't do things that way, or, you know, take it from the consumer's perspective, take it from the young innovative mind perspective, because unfortunately in the Gen AI world, the reality is what you learn in university is going to be good for about a year. And then even that gets outdated to a degree. Or if you put them through a rotation process, you basically brainwash them into the old way of doing things. And you know, it's interesting. In Intesa Sanpaolo used to put their brand new graduates they hire into departments and said, you have freedom to innovate any way you want, even if it's disruptive to the department. When they were given that flexibility and when they had heroes built, they did things differently. We have to rethink the way we run a business. You know, it sounds, you know, we make it sound so easy. It's not, you know.
To your point, like their leaders in bank, they want to do well. These product owners, like all these different individuals in their roles, are typically they are really deeply motivated to do well for the institution. In a way, they're in the way of the real change to a degree. So also think like, how do we help them to kind of get a different mindset? Like, hey, it's really change management. And then it's also like a growth mindset. Like, okay, it's going to be risky. It's going to be a little bit more painful. I probably have to work a little bit harder, but I can do something exciting in life and we can actually redefine the rules of the game. There's millions of people out there that would like, if with a bit of encouragement, they will do it.
And getting back to what you said earlier, there's no reason why you can't run tandem organizations where, you know, Chase, I'll keep on bringing up Chase. A lot of people in the U.S. don't know that Chase has an extraordinarily successful digital platform in the U.K. right now. They're doing business completely differently there than they do in the U.S. They're running completely different platforms. They're not even on the same, you know, they're not even on the same core because it's banking done differently. They couldn't use what they use in the United States for that. And the reality is, how do you think that? You know, how do you say, I'm going to build a sub-brand without even calling it a sub-brand, but moving transactions over there to build it differently and test the systems. We need to continually innovate. We need to do banking differently. And you know, I've never been more excited about what could happen in banking.
Why is that? Why is that, Jim? Why are you so excited, especially in this moment?
The potential of digital. You know, you look at the data availability, you look at the platforms, you look at the solution providers, you're bringing really, really cool solutions to the table. You look at the fintech companies that are showing the proof of how well it can be done, the Monzos, the Revoluts, the, you know, all these organizations that are doing things in a vastly different way. And yeah, sometimes we need the fear factor because you can always explain away, I don't want to be the same as those guys that are doing things in a modern way. But let me throw something out to the audience in the U.S. saying, what would happen if Amazon said, you know, we're going to pay customers to use a brand new Chase banking checking account. We're not going to be a checking account provider, but we're going to build this brand new partnership with Chase. We're going to pay you $100 a year to have your checking account with them, where the mobile app, the mobile wallet is all built within, and it's all easily accessible with Amazon, all that. Well, guess what? That retailer can afford to pay somebody every year to do something that costs a customer today to do. I mean, you look at the possibility. I'm sure it's not as easy as I'm saying, but who's to say that some retailer doesn't say, I'm going to build a platform. You know, Walmart's building a very big financial institution relationship. They just wrote a contract with Klarna, got rid of Affirm for their buy now, pay later. But it's interesting because they're not taking the debt. You know, they're taking the relationship. They're saying, I'm going to keep on building this relationship to the point where I'm indispensable, but I don't have all parts of this relationship, but I'm making it seamless for the customer. Again, it's not how we build it. It's how the customer perceives it. That's the end game.
With that, I'm going to give a try, Jim and Jouk, to summarize the key points that we discussed here. I really love the flow of the conversation, by the way. And mind you, I definitely am in control. I'm going to show you why. Because I summarize the episodes typically, Jim, to give a few key pointers to the audience. I think overall, for the U.S. state of banking, there is work to do still, even after one, two, three decades of looking at where the majority of the industry has moved. We discussed at length the need for digital leadership. I think there's no need to double click once more, but it really sets the winners from those that are not making as much progress. We discussed modernization as the way to actually go about it, meaning progressively modernizing with flexibility. You can, yes, rip, replace, but that's open heart surgery. Still, it's an option. You can go progressively, maybe line of business per line of business, or even journey by journey, make it even smaller to make progress. We have many examples of those as well. Or you can even go to the extreme of a sidecar. And I think the Chase example you highlighted a few times is literally separate entity, separate leadership, very different operating model, which hopefully over time cross-pollinates towards the mothership, the mother entity. And the final thing we, the final two things we double-clicked on were tailored value propositions. Remove all the friction, make it very personalized. And yes, leverage all the latest and greatest technology that you now see with agentic, with AI overall, which informs how to make the best experience happen at whatever touch point, at whatever moment in time, be it for the customer, be it for the employee. I think that also really came across because you basically gave maybe 200 examples. No, I'm kidding, but you gave a lot of examples. So I'm sure the audience has a few good nuggets there. And finally, risk on. Risk on to actually make the move, bring the right people into the room from leadership all the way down to the people who, for instance, are the adjudicator to ensure that a loan is indeed, you know, good to go. I've been working with these people as well in detail in many different accounts in Backbase. And, you know, these are craftspeople. They love their job. They have passion for the process, but they equally need to have passion for the new world. And how do I translate my craft into the new world without just having the fear that I'm being replaced and I'm basically out of a job potentially. So I think there overall, if I can tie a bow around it, change management. That's the major topic we've been trying to unpack in different angles. And honestly, I think there's one, two, three, four more episodes we should continue the dialogue in, Jim. It's been it's been very helpful, very insightful. Any final points you guys would like to add or maybe give a bit more emphasis to?
Just do it. I'll take a Nike phrase that says, just do it. We can hesitate all we want, but I see organizations of all sizes that are making major inroads in a quarter. It does not take a lifetime anymore to make the changes that are needed. Annual plans should be thrown out and should be moved to quarterly plans. You can always delay. I mean, it's amazing that we're well into March. If you think about how fast time flies, we're well into March of 2025, and many of us are just getting started with what we're trying to achieve this year. That's what excites me about the smallest organizations. They can move on a dime. And if they have the right leadership, they will implement things that would take a large organization a year and a half because we keep on getting in our own way. They can do it in a nanosecond compared to what we used to do as an industry. And some of that is legacy mindset. We're all used to saying anything's going to, you know, a new core is going to take a 3-year, 5-year, 6-year process. No. Yeah, okay. I'm sure you have examples of people that have made major inroads in a quarter and a half year in 9 months and are moving forward at a pace that makes it so they know they're going to hit the finish line in a realistic time frame. But each one of those started to do things. And the last thing, and this to every institution, when you make a decision to move forward with a solution provider, make sure you implement what you bought as opposed to you putting roadblocks in the way that make it so you're not getting the full benefit of what you wanted to achieve. Know what your goal is, know your destination of what you want to achieve, and use your partnership to get there because you know, it's no longer enough just to go directionally in the right direction. Set that specific place where you have to be, and all bets are off. Getting everybody in the room, and if you're saying, you know, I'm going to take the simple thing. If you're saying a 3 to 5 minute new account opening process, don't let anything get in the way of achieving that goal when you make that partnership, because there's too many partnerships today where the solution provider, be it Backbase or anybody else, throws their arms in the air going, oh my gosh, they've left so much on the table that we could do for them. Listen to your partners. Not that they're always right, but don't use the phrase that we all use, we're different. No, you're not. you're a financial institution regulated by the same regulators in the same neighborhood as other organizations that are doing things that differently and better. You know, listen.
All right, then I guess we're ready for a final wrap up, unless there's any final comments to make before we wrap.
Yeah, there's one thing, like Jim, I kind of disagree with what you said. I hear you talk a lot about core modernization, and I do acknowledge there's core modernization needed, but I think it will set a lot of the people in the audience in the wrong direction, where they think, I need to modernize my core, my system of record. Maybe you can comment on it, because I really think it's the other way around, where we have to say it's banking modernization, and maybe that's what you mean.
You know, interesting. Yeah, I'm probably using them interchangeably. You know, I look at any, it's a terminology issue that obviously is something very near and dear to your heart because that's part of your business, in that I look at back offices being part and parcel of the core. That is probably a nuance that it's using a broad term for a more narrow feature. I would agree with you in that the goal we're actually trying to do is banking modernization. And I think to one of your points, you don't need to necessarily replace your core or even change your core if your modernization process involves a digital transformation process and overall banking modernization. A very good catch there that's important. I hope the people listening to the podcast long enough to hear the terminology difference. And you know what? That's the reality of my work, in that I tend to deal with the 10 to 30,000 foot level on terminology even. But it's good to get caught on that, because I think going forward, because we're actually going to be doing a podcast with your team, a series, and to make sure that there's a terminology understanding on what really financial institutions need to be looking at, and that is an overall modernization.
Yeah, and to your point, like if you really look at, and so modernization, everybody's kind of in understanding, and like, but maybe we can also moving forward and collaborate about like, where do you want to modernize and for what reason, right? So what are the different domains? I think there's the system of record. Typically, you know, you don't have to do a lot of innovation in the system of record. It's just where you store stuff, right? Where you see a lot of dynamics are around product and pricing. And if product and pricing is in your core and you cannot change it, you got a product and pricing issue in your core. You can also hollow that out of the core. You can do that with fintech. So is it product and pricing? Is it aggregating fintechs? Is it orchestrating all these things together in a new bundle? Is it kind of streamlining and removing the friction in onboarding or in loan origination? The reason why I was responding to it, I think a lot of people basically jump to conclusions sometimes a little bit too quickly. As in, I need to modernize the channel, or I need to buy a CRM and they're not using the CRM, or I need to replace the core. And like, really, after all that effort of core modernization, do you really capture the impact to your end customer?
You know, it's interesting. I talk about legacy thinking a lot of my podcasts. I think that was a legacy mindset issue I had with regard to terminology. And I think you bring up a very big and major distinction, because I think the word core itself has a fear factor to it. And I think that, you know, in the way that can be done today from a technology standpoint, to not, as you said, rip and replace, and not to look at a complete core issue, and to look at, I love the terminology of banking modernization. I think you're going to see me use that terminology a whole lot more going forward, because you're right. A technology person, an IT person, a person who manages the back office core, will see this as one thing versus another. I great distinction. I agree with you. I use them interchangeably, and they're not interchangeable. I think that's a very good catch. Thank you.
So I think what you also, I think if you threw that lens, like, I think for the people in the audience, like, it's always kind of like a lot of people jump to the conclusion, I need a CRM. I need an engagement banking platform. I need a core replacement. They basically jump to these acronyms and then these large buckets. And in a way, maybe we can think like, okay, but why? And I think asking just the why question, like, what's the real problem? What are you trying to solve? And that's kind of maybe seamless onboarding, or we want to kind of grow our share of wallet and product holdings with our clients, or we want to become the primary relationship. From these high level goals, if you then start to reason back, like, okay, what are the building blocks? Then I need to kind of modernize, or I need to kind of get leaner and fit. You know, you could absolutely come to the conclusion, the core is the bottleneck, right? Or it is a different combination. But like that, if you start with the problem, if you start with the North Star, you decompose it into the building blocks, I think that would give a very healthy return on investment, because you actually start to solve the real problem. I think this is first principle thinking, like, what are we really trying to solve, instead of just jumping to an acronym?
It also brings out the highlight of how important the advisory side of what your company does and what other solution providers do or should do. Do you ask the question why? You know, are you being asked as a banker, okay, so why do you think you need a CRM? Why do you think you need this, that, or the other thing? And to be able to peel back layers and go, what is your actual goal? You know, what is your North Star, as you bring up? You know, what is the specific North Star that you want to achieve? Let's build from there, as opposed to thinking that you know all the building blocks of how to build a car, when really you're simply trying to get from point A to point B, and there may be alternatives there.
All right. I think we clarified that one. All good. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Jouk, see you next time. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.